That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
Welcome to That Great Business Show, where we bring you more great tips, insights, and unique business opportunities on every episode, all perfectly packaged in our commute-friendly podcast. I am Conall O'Moran, Foltistiach. You just can't get enough of him, can you? We had Conor McEnroy, chairman of Paraguay's biggest bank, with us on E15, or episode 15, telling us all about bombings, kidnappings, and how to buy your own bank. Then, on episode 156, he told us that fascinating story about how money actually moves around the world, and that it can cost $1 million to move $50 million. Wow. But you wanted more. We have been inundated with requests on LinkedIn and email asking for another round with Conor. Yes, I agree. I think he is one of our great storytellers, and he has kindly agreed to join us just one more time. Whoever said that business isn't pure entertainment? As always, all our tips and insights are brought to you thanks to Done Deal Motors, the place to look for your new or previously loved car, van or truck, donedeal.ie. And we are now official podcast partners with Aer Lingus Long Haul. They want you to head for Hartford. That's in Connecticut, USA. The best place to set up your USA HQ. Contact us at thatgreatbusinessshow.com to find out more.
Done Deal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Done Deal. Are you looking for a seven-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit donedeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With the daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
So joining me now, as I say, is Conor McEnroy, who is chairman of Sudamery's bank, but he's far more than that. Because he has, as you can, different business interests. So, Conor, I'm going to start by asking you, how did you go from number five bank when you were with us 2.5 years ago? You were number five bank. You bought another bank. You're now the number one bank. How did that happen? And then we get on to other business interests.
Well, you know, you, if the fox hangs out long enough in the back garden,
FOX for anybody who misunderstood that.
Really? Did that Latin American tone on my pronunciation suggest something else?
Mr. Fox is in your back garden.
Fox, F-O-X, not F-U-C-H. Think of it like a vulture, you know, you're buzzing around. And, you know, every now and then, you know, you see a little chicken and there's lunch. I'm being facetious. So, yes, we acquired another bank.
Now, you say that easy, but you don't just acquire another bank. These are big businesses.
Yeah.
Relative to any of the banks in Ireland, how big was the one that you just bought?
Well, you have to understand that Paraguay is Ireland in 1971. So, you know, everything is much smaller as it was in Ireland in 1971. But on a relative scale, I mean, the bank that we bought had about 10% market share and we had about 10% market share. Now we have 22% market share.
But I thought you were the number five bank, buying the number one bank to make it number one. Is that not right?
No, we bought the number three bank.
Okay, but now you are number one.
Yes. Good. Five plus you. Three is equal to one.
But of course. So you're now 22% of the market.
Yeah, that basically means that a little bit more than $1 in five of the economy is going through our house.
That's not bad.
No, it's fine. We will grow that now to $1 in four, and then we'll see if we can push it to $1 in three.
You were the smaller bank.
Oh, I started out as the 15th bank out of 15.
How did you, I'm looking for lessons in business here. What do you do? How did you do it? What are you looking for? Is it about networking? Is it about, I mean, you say, you know, you're keeping an eye out. Of course, everybody in business keeps an eye out on their competitors. What do you do to make sure that you win?
The problem with paid managers, employees, when the employees start thinking that they're the business owner, but there's no business owner around to chastise them when they lose money, things start to go off the rails. And you see that not only in banks, but in other companies as well. You know, I can entertain you for hundreds of examples. You know, I recall the fellow in the UK who, you know, raided the employee pension funds and went off to Monaco and the company collapsed. I mean, and he's a big business leader. I mean, give me a break. You look at some of the world-class bankers and then you look up and you see, well, how much have these banks been fined for, including criminal activity? And, you know, it's billions. And you would think to yourself, how come they still got a job? Because they're employees at the end of the day. They're not owners. You know, nobody looks after your money like an owner.
Correct. That's why we love business owners.
And in Spanish, we have two words for bankers.
Are they both rude?
No, naughty boy. We have banquero and we have bancario. Banquero is the guy whose money is at risk. And the bancario is the guy who works for the guy whose money is at risk.
So and Conor McEnroy is a banquero.
Yes.
Did I say that well?
Yes, you did well. You did well. My point being that, you know, you run your shop well. We've had this discussion before, old-fashioned banking. First job at the bank, it's a safe place to put your money. Second job at the bank, you can pay whoever you need to pay when you need to pay them, and you can receive money when you need to receive it. Third job at the bank, in place number three, is lend money. And lending money, you have four rules in my view: character, cash flow, collateral, known as the three C's. And I add a fourth one, which is, will you be richer after you've paid off the loan? Because if not, I'm just taking some of your net worth. And so why should I do that? Well, why is that a good thing? So if you want money to go to Lanzarote and eat cold pizza and drink warm beer and, lash your belly with sunburn oil, don't come to me because I'll give you a piggy bank. I will actually give you a piggy bank. We have piggy banks. I've reintroduced them. So I don't like to lend people money where it's just, you know, I'm putting my hand in their pocket and taking their money. In the case of Regional, it was a bank. It was a little bit kumbaya. It sort of lost its way a little bit. But it had very nice customers. Management was poor. You know, ultimately, banks do well or do badly, depending on their management. So, we were well positioned and we moved very fast. And we bought it in 8 weeks.
Wow.
8 weeks.
So that's only one of your interests. What else have you an interest in, be that toenail or owning the entire?
Well, you know, if you hang around a place long enough and you're busy and you're active, you will acquire accoutrement.
How long are you down in Paraguay?
Next year it'll be 20 years.
Okay, so you've been a while there, yeah?
Not only a while, but I realized the other day when I was addressing six English companies, came down to Paraguay to have a look around and see what to do to them from Northern Ireland. I was talking to them and explaining to them the history and so on. And it suddenly dawned on me mid-flight in the conversation that I went to Paraguay only 10 years after the military dictatorship ended. 20 years ago, I didn't have that high on my recognition table, if you like. But, you know, 30 years on, I realized, oh, wow, I actually came in right almost at the very beginning of this new country, because truly the country is 30 years old now. So, 20 years.
No, you were going to tell me about your other interests. Do you remember that part? Do you remember that question?
Okay, yeah. So, well, the first thing that I bought, you know, I'm Irish, and you know what paddies are like. So paddy needs the land. And if you don't have land, you're not a real paddy. Or you could be an immigrant paddy. But, you know, you need land. And Have you ever seen the movie The Field?
I have seen it, and I love it. It's one. It's a classic. It
or,
is brilliant.
Or do you know?
I've seen it in the theater as well. Yeah.
So do you know that song? I think it's Mary Black. Mary Black, is it?
Depends which one. Which song you're going to tell me?
There's a song. And the punchline of the song is, "You never own the land owns you."
And?
So I bought a farm.
Okay. Now, when you say a farm.
Yeah.
50 acres?
Ah, go away. It's not Leitrim. My father was from Leitrim. Well,
500 acres. 5,000 acres?
No. It's only 3,500 acres.
Okay. That's more than a farm. That's almost the size of a county.
Well, that's a small farm where I come from.
And did they see you coming? Did they say, because we do pay, as a nation, we pay paddy prices when we go abroad. Did you pay a paddy price?
You mean, was I like the Yank in the field?
Yep.
Who had the nerve to outbid the local?
Yeah.
No, I bought a failed farm.
And what do you do on this farm?
I grow sugarcane.
Now, I remember you mentioning this to me a long time ago, and that you lost ideas for sugarcane.
And I managed to achieve them. It's in a place called Santa Maria, I think Glenealy.
In Wicklow.
It's a small village, and we have the farm. When I bought it, it had 55 hectares of farmland in sugarcane. Now we have... in hectares, 1,500.
Is that a lot? I know nothing at all about sugarcane.
Yeah, that's a fair bit. And then there was this old rusty mill, rust bucket, and we've had to redo that. So now we employ about 250 people full time, and then we...
Making sugar?
Yes.
Okay.
So we grow sugarcane. It's very easy. Well, very easy. It's organic, so no chemicals, no petroleum in the food. So we plant it, we can harvest it 5 times, and then we have to replant. And from a technical point of view, we don't make sugar. We make crystallized, filtered, organic cane juice, just to give you an idea of the process. Now, we are now, dare I say it, the largest specialty organic sugar company in the world.
Wow.
We have 24 certifications worldwide for our product and our processes.
And who buys your product and your processes?
All over. I mean, it's...
But who uses it? I mean, what's...
So, for example, there's one company that buys our sugar. It's in Shanghai. We send over a container, 2 containers.
Of liquid?
No, of sugar.
No, white stuff?
No.
Brown stuff?
White means if it's white...
It's been processed.
And I'll tell you a little secret.
Please do.
Up to 5% of it doesn't have to be sugar.
Okay.
You can put filler in.
And what is filler?
And you can still call it sugar.
And what fillers could be used?
You could use anything.
Okay.
I mean, the cheapest, if one wanted to do it, the cheapest would be to take the white out of the inside of the orange skin and... pulp it, dry it, make a powder, turn it into little crystals and throw it in with the sugar and call it sugar.
Okay.
But you can also, sometimes people put nastier stuff in.
Okay.
So inorganic, you can't
do that.
So
it's kind of browny color.
So there is no such thing as white sugar. There's bleached with chemicals sugar with chemical residue all over it. White sugar is about as poisonous as artificial sugar.
And I noticed that your coffee in front of you, that you refused sugar.
No.
So, but you're still selling it.
Ah, now, go away after that. So, yes, we make, the sugar that we make, you tell me the size of the crystal, and you tell me what color you would like it to be perceived as, and then I will make it to your spec. And you also tell me how humid you'd like it. You know, do you want Muscovado sort of humid sugar, or do you want it crystal dry?
You told me that it's going, say, to China, but what is it being used for there?
So what happens in China is, in that case, that customer, they take ginger and they process ginger. They basically make it candied, and then they wrap the ginger in our sugar, And then it gets put in beautiful boxes and gets sent to Paris, and it sells for $1 a piece.
Okay. But you could do that in Paraguay. No.
Yes, yeah, but that's like saying you use electricity, so why don't you start an electric plant, you know?
Okay. So that is your sugar business. Actually, since you know a lot about sugar, is there an opportunity for us to restart the sugar industry here? It's been talked about.
Yeah, absolutely not.
No.
Waste of time. Okay. I mean, no, is it physically possible to do it? Sure. How much would you like the taxpayers to subsidize it?
Okay, so it doesn't make sense. Okay.
It doesn't make sense. It's for one very simple reason. I can give you many, but one very simple reason. I buy land per acre. I pay no more than 700 euros for an acre.
Okay. A little bit cheaper than here.
A little bit cheaper than here. Okay. You can put any freight cost you want. You can never compete with me.
Okay. Because and you are shipping it from Paraguay?
From Paraguay.
To, where's the furthest point?
Going east, Saudi Arabia. Going west, Singapore, Hong Kong, Australia.
Right. From your farm?
China, People's Republic of China, Taiwan, Korea. We have quite a bit of coverage now in Asia. Obviously, we go north to Canada and the United States. And in Europe, we sell particularly well in Italy, in Denmark, in France, and in Germany.
From scratch. This did not exist when?
No, this company is about 10 years old. It was my first weekend job.
Wow. And growth? There's always an opportunity.
When you make Hermes handbags, that you can't talk about scale.
So this is specialist or specialized.
This is so specialized. You know, we sell our, to give you an idea, you know, we sell our sugar at anything up to $1,200 a ton. Your white sugar that you mentioned, you know, maybe that's $400 or $500 a ton. So three times the price of the chemical sugar. But it's sugar for you know, very high-end apps or people who want the security of the certifications. The certifications are not easy. In many cases, we're the only crowd with the patience and the commitment to do it, you know, regenerative, fair trade. Obviously, in any certification, it has to be chemical-free, but there's also other certifications that put higher standards. Not only can you not put insecticide in it, but you also must have, you know, what you would know as mixed farming or whatever.
I'm going to hold you there because we have to take a quick break because there are further industries and businesses to talk about. I'm with Conor McEnroy, and he has many interests, and we'll come back and we'll talk about another one in just after this break.
That Great Business Show.
De Facto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. De Facto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. De Facto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
Travel to Connecticut, USA with Aer Lingus service to Bradley International Airport. With the daily flights from Dublin to Hartford, we make business travel to Connecticut easy. Save time with US pre-clearance, enjoy Aer Lingus award-winning flight service, and experience the convenience of Bradley International Airport, perfectly situated for your travel needs. Learn more and plan your next business trip at aerlingus.com.
All that great business show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
And I am with Conor McEnroy, who is chairman of Sudamerys Bank, and he is also a sugar farmer as well, we've just been hearing. And that's not all. What else do you do down in Paraguay, Conor?
Well, traditionally in Paraguay, there's the herding business, cattle and so on. We discovered pigs recently, that's going great guns. That's a huge growth business because we didn't really know about pigs.
Is this on the same farm or a different farm?
On the country.
Oh, I thought this was you.
No, the country. The country eats beef. Everybody eats beef five, six, 7 days a week. You know, T-bone steak, filet mignon, 7 days a week. Chicken, maybe one day, and now we discovered a thing called a pig.
Okay.
That's growing like wildfire.
But you're not in the piggies yet?
No, I'm not. I know that where there's muck, there's money, but I'm not in the pig business yet.
Okay. So what are you in?
We discovered a new thing it's a big round thing that grows in the ground. It's got like a brown skin. And when you look up top, it's all sort of green foliage called a tree. And we discovered trees. So now we're in the tree business.
What kinds of trees to do what?
So there's one project which we've championed. We don't lead it. We're a follower in it. We're a minority shareholder. But it's the second most efficient pulp plant in the world will be in Paraguay. It's a $4 billion investment.
For paper?
Pulp. And then you can buy the pulp and do whatever you want. You can buy the pulp and make paper, make nappies, make tissues, make whatever. This is just the pulp part.
Okay. What kind of trees?
Six varieties, but obviously eucalyptus is the well-known one because it's long fiber pulp. So in the eastern part of Paraguay, let's say the eastern side, which is where it is, there's currently 2.7 million hectares of forest. And we, in the bank, we estimate that there's going to be 1.3 million hectares planted in the next 10 years. So the amount of forestation in the eastern side of the country will jump 50% in the next 10 years. And some of that will be commercial forest. In the case of the company I'm mentioning, Paracel, it's called Paraguay Cellulose. That's starting off with a modest forest of 200,000 hectares, I think 500,000 acres.
That's a lot.
And that's only the first half. That project will end up with 1 million acres.
I think I remember, am I right in saying that Ireland is 32 million acres? Is that right? I think there's some number like that neatly hops into 32 counties type of thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that gives you an idea. It's huge.
So that gives you, so huge, we're going to, huge, so huge. Just this one project is going to forest an entire county.
Okay.
But there are two more underway starting off. So we invested in this company called Paracel, which we're really happy with. I also invested in a little startup. Three young fellows came. They came looking for a loan, but, you know, it was an unbankable project. And so I sat with them and gave them plenty of airtime and eventually said to them, look, why don't we do this a different way? You know, I can't lend you the money. It's not bankable. But I'll give you the money and you can buy me out later on.
So you're a dragon as well.
So, yeah, if you like, yeah.
And what are they doing, these three young lads?
We call them plantines, so they seedlings. But it's really important. You have to know how to do it and do it very well. So you take a seed and you grow in a tiny little square cup. You're growing what's going to end up being a seriously big tree. And that's in a very special kind of soil. And then you have to transfer it at a certain point into a bigger square box and grow it up. And then finally it then gets transferred and gets put in the ground. And currently I was with them just before coming over. We've got our production up to 5 million a year.
5 million little trees?
Yeah. And
that's chunky.
So we sell everything we produce. I mean,
sold to whom or to where?
It gets sold to in Paraguay and into Brazil. Brazil is fast running out of commercial forests and land suitable for commercial forest. Commercial forest land is not good cattle land and it's not good grain land. So it doesn't compete with those two activities. But Brazil has sort of run out, at least Mato Grosso del Sul has run out. So they're looking into Paraguay now, and Paraguay has lots of this land. Remember, it's I told you before, it's the size of California and it's got 6 million people.
Empty. Know? Very empty.
Sort of. Think of, you know, West Clare.
Okay.
And there's a lot of it.
What else are you in?
Did I tell you I was in the beer business?
Yes, you did. I was waiting for this.
Yes.
But
yes.
You've never told me the details.
Yes, we're the partner with a really nice man and Andronico Luxig and Heineken.
So you are Heineken in Paraguay now, are you?
Yeah, we're currently importing it from Holland. So our margins are, can I say the word, rap with a C?
Yes.
Our margins are skinny. So so we've just approved we're going to build a factory.
Wonderful.
So we're starting the beer factory process this month.
Now, you've gone trees, you've gone sugar, you've gone beer. It's a conglomerate. Sorry, and the bank, of course. A conglomerate. How do you make up your mind as to what is worthy of your time?
Well, I think you have to be very careful about being, believing your own...
Brilliance
and shine, to use the two letters, BS. Just because you're good at one thing doesn't mean you're good at another. The farm, it took me 10 years to turn that business around. I paid my dues to learn that business. Good lesson. The view on the world is when you have one golden cow, you look after it, and it's very expensive to take your time away from that cow and go...
That'd be my thinking,
go looking somewhere else.
So go build a bigger bank.
Right, and that's... frankly, what we're doing, we're now number one, 22% and growing. Who would ever thought, little boy from the Wicklow Hills, being the largest banker in a country in South America. But there we are. And what we're doing now, given the stage of development of the country, what we've realized is that there are two opportunities for us. One is to be the trusted local partner in somebody else's business. What they want is, I need my local Indian scout who's going to make sure I don't mess up and do something stupid and offend people because I don't know the culture or the lie of the land or whatever. So we are positioned and we've accepted a number of invitations to be the trusted local partner. You know, I've had one or two people come and say, look, I don't care whether it's 5% or 50. I just want the security that you're there to watch my back. Okay, that's fine. The other thing that we're looking at now, which is one the reason I'm over, is again because this is a new frontier market and so on, about to get investment grade. We've decided that we're going to look and see can we use Ireland, my darling homeland, as a platform to have funds located in Ireland, listed in Luxembourg, for investment in Paraguay in order to allow foreigners to invest in the country. And I don't mean retail investors. I mean professional investors. But give them the comfort of Irish jurisdiction, Irish law, Irish business practice, Irish formality, Irish bookkeeping, Irish regulation, and all that goes with similarly a listing in Luxembourg. And, for example, we're talking with three companies who want to invest in a specific business, but they'd like to do it through a fund rather than do it directly.
And what comforts, besides all what you just mentioned there, what other comforts does that give them instead of just going down there and maybe raising funds over there?
Two, cost, and they get us in the market.
Okay, and I understand that. So
we're the custodian.
Everybody's just waiting. Size of the fund? I mean, is it chunky?
The first one we're looking at would be about 500 million.
Euro?
Yeah.
Or dollars?
Yeah,
whichever.
It'll be dollars.
That's chunky.
Well, it's a good start.
And that's the first one. What about the second one? Or the third one? And that's okay. No, I mean, I was just wondering, when you said first, I always imagine you're already thinking about 2, 3, 4, 5. What can you do with 500 million in Paraguay that you're thinking of doing?
You could get a 20, 25% stake in a pulp company.
And I just happen to have one out the back.
It would be enough money to start a forest and then buy a piece of land and keep it there to build the factory later when the forest is grown.
Sounds like the kind of investment for pension funds.
Yeah, this is pension fund money. And there's also, you know, I didn't realize, I made a quip the other day with some people saying, you know, this pulp is great, but, you know, tissue paper, hygiene tissue, you know, toilet paper, said, what a pity it's not a growth market. And the guy turned and he said, oh, you've got it absolutely wrong, Mr. Mackin. There are, and he trots out, I don't recall the number, you know, however many billion people who don't use toilet paper.
Okay.
And we estimated that in the next X years, there's going to be another 3.2 billion people using toilet paper.
Okay.
And I thought,
I like those stats.
Holy cow. We need an awful lot more paper mills.
That's just opened up so many opportunities for some smart ass remark.
I'll tell you another funny story. So somebody said to me, this plant is being built in a place called Concepcion, where we've previously championed four other factories, a cement factory and two slaughterhouses. And this latest one, just to build it, requires 8,500 people for a couple of years. And so somebody said to me the other day, "What? That's going to be a boom town. What's a good business up there?" I drew breath and I was in a jovial mood. And I said, "Underpants." He said, "What?" I said, "Underpants." I said, "Assume that they're going to change their underpants once a day. That's 8,000 underpants to be washed every day. 16,000 socks, if they change the socks every day. Start an industrial laundry. I mean, you don't need a PhD to figure out a good business."
They always said about mining, sell the equipment, wasn't that it? So, you 2.5 years ago, you were on with us on episode 15, and you were very keen that Ireland and Irish businesses would look at Paraguay. Now, it is a far, far away place.
Yeah.
But you did say that there were opportunities there.
Yeah.
2.5 years later, still opportunities, or have they been snapped up, or never too late.
The opportunity in Paraguay for Irish companies is, although when you hear me talk, I talk about the country and I'm focused on its exports. But if you look at the GDP, only 11% of the GDP is agriculture. It's predominantly services. So what are the opportunities? Software.
Education good there, yeah?
No, that's an opportunity.
Okay.
That's a seriously big opportunity. Then the country has completed a national energy plan, you know, 2050, 2070. And so they've decided that they're going to do a whole lot of public-private partnerships because they don't want to increase the national debt. And so there will be, I think, 22 small hydroelectric plants will go out to private sector bidding. So if you'd like to own your own hydroelectric dam, it goes on and on. I mean, a hotel chain. We need a hotel chain. There's no hotel chain in the country. I'm talking about 3-star commercial traveler, you know, bed and breakfast, basically. You know, we desperately need one of those. Again, it's...
Is it Spanish language only, or how is their command of English?
English, come on. It's Spanish, and the indigenous language, the original language of the country, is Guarani.
No, I mention like English only when I'm thinking of the monoglot Irish who cannot speak anything but English and who will go down there. Is it easy to start doing business there?
There are lots of people who speak English. I mean, the important people all speak English. I mean, if you go to the cabinet, you know, all of the ministries speak fluent English. I will be with them next week in New York. They didn't. Couple of dog and pony shows. But, you know, there's, you know, reaching for a billion people in the world who speak Spanish. So, you know, really it's a good idea to learn the language.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're speaking to the converted here. But stable government, you've just got a new president, am I right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the country is 30 years. In 1994, the last general left the palace, and the country is resolutely and jealously guarding civilian democracy. And anything that whiffs of anything else gets a very bad reaction.
Taxes?
Yes, we have taxes. In 2003, there was a major tax reform and corporation tax was dropped from 35 to 10, and all sales tax VAT was dropped to 10 except for some things that have five and a few with zero. And then they introduced a revolutionary concept. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called personal income tax.
Oh, that was brand new, was it?
Yes, and for the first time, that was, but it was introduced slowly.
Okay.
You know, first just for the really rich, you know, the not the 1%, the 0.1%, and then for the 1%, and then we extended it to the 5%, and it's still being rolled out.
Do they welcome outside investment? Can I set up my, I don't know, services company, my accountancy firm or whatever immediately, no problems, or
no
do
problem.
I need local partnerships or anything like that?
No. You can set up, as a country, there are no, now listen to my words carefully, there are no restrictions on foreign exchange or capital. There are controls. You know, I want to know where the money came from is very different from you can't.
Can you take the money out?
No problem.
Okay, so it's open. Open
you can
for
take,
business
you
in a big
can
way.
You can take it out, and if there's any problem, they'll ask the questions later. But
you're selling it to me like a kind of a little undiscovered little gem. I mean,
is that, it's Ireland, 1971.
Yeah. So it's ripe for...
Just get an Irish Times from 1972.
Yeah. I remember too well.
Or an Independent. Or an Irish Press, if you remember that.
It was depressing back then, but is the place itself vibrant?
The place is one of the happiest countries in the world by the Happiness Index and has been for... decades. It's a place where what I say is if you can get anything in there. I mean, if you want the Hermes Chevalier dinner service, there's one for sale, $45,000, no problem. So you can get anything. But if you need shopping to be happy, stay here. Because that's not how people make themselves happy there. They make themselves happy by going around to each other's houses and having barbecues. And normally, I would get invited to 3-4 barbecues a week.
Is that all? What do you do the other 3 days?
You know, eat something like spaghetti or, you know.
Access. That is a problem. You have to get there. It's a long way away.
Oh, it's the access now for Europe. It's easy. Madrid, Air Europe, you're there in one shot.
Okay. And then up. And Air Europe is about to be bought by IAG, I think, isn't it?
I think it was already bought. No.
Is it? Okay, well, that means that it's all part of the Aer Lingus.
Yeah, so it's American Airlines, British Airways, and then Aer Lingus, Iberia, everything else.
It door-to-door from Asunción to Dublin via Madrid. How long does that take?
Madrid is 11 hours, 48 minutes.
Okay.
I think the service... is like Aer Lingus going to New York from Dublin in terms of the quality of the accommodation. And the price is the same as Aer Lingus from Dublin to New York. It's about $3,500 round trip. And then once you're in Madrid, you know, a flight from Madrid to wherever you're going.
Okay. And what if you were to advise, and I know you did this 2.5 years ago, industries that you just say, come on down. It's here. Now, I know you said hotels.
Well, I don't understand why Irish whiskey is not marketed like crazy.
Is it not?
Because, you know, if you don't drink beer, you drink whiskey. And
we have
Johnny
so many
Walker,
whiskey companies on this program. And I'm really amazed that there is an opportunity there. Is there a problem with, I don't know, the margin or like shipping whiskey is very expensive.
Sure. You know, I have some clients who would just love to have a representation of an Irish brand.
You heard it here first?
No, I mean, your competition, just to give you an idea, your competition is Johnny Walker Red. You know what to say about Johnny Walker?
No.
Keep on walking.
That's a lovely tip, though. Anything else like that? Mm. I'm going to get all of our whiskey brands, and I'm going to tag them and
Tell them, for sure.
Your butts down there.
I mean, Jameson has come and they have a representative, but unfortunately the representative also has other interests.
Which happens.
So their whiskey
gets... We had
gets...
Keeper's Heart, which is the O'Shaughnessy's in St. Paul's, and we had them on, and Brand Nation. That should be sold down there.
No, our Brand Nation, yes, I know those. They're Liberties, isn't it?
No, Brand Nation was with Middleton, was with the Chief Taster down there, and then he was bought. He was... Brilliant episode, actually. We'll listen back to it.
Oh, I will.
And yeah. I know it's the Teelings who are in the center of town.
Yeah.
John Teeling we've had on once.
Well, and John or Jack?
Well, no, John Senior.
Oh, yeah. I know him. He's a really good guy.
Northern Distillery. Yeah,
I have a lot of time for John.
Well, we'll send this on to John Teeling as well. We'll tell him to get his Teeling butt down there as well.
He was my hero 30, 35 years ago.
Same here. Listen, I could and I will talk to you forever, but we have run out of time. And I won't ask you, because I did ask you before about your heart and a heartbeat, unless you've got something very, very, very clever to say. Do you want to have another heart and a heartbeat?
I would hire in a heartbeat, if he was alive, Brian Lennon.
Senior or junior?
Junior.
Junior. Elite.
Junior. Yeah. I mean, what a special guy.
He was. Yeah. And meant to be a lovely, lovely guy, yeah.
Ireland's lost the day he left us.
Yeah. Good choice again. Okay, that is Conor McEnroy, who is, amongst many other things, I'm now going to describe you as being a backwoodsman, no? No. I'm a lumberjack. He's a lumberjack. As well as being
the
chairman
banker who chops
of Sudamaris Bank. But he's also our man in Paraguay. So therefore, he is indirectly kind of. He's kind of a public servant, aren't you? You are there at the beck and
page, but yes.
You're at the beck and call of anybody from Ireland who wants to go down and do business
in
Paraguay.
For sure.
And I'm sure you can also advise on, because you do know a lot of other things about South America. Sure. And your door is open and you will talk to, well, you talk to anybody, I think. But
I would say one other thing, aside from whiskey. Anybody who is in the tree business should get their butt down to Paraguay yesterday. Don't wait. Get the plane. Figure it out when you get there.
To do what?
If you're going to have 1.3 million hectares of forest planted in a country that has to learn what to do.
We will get you Bob Hamilton, irishtrees.ie, on the first plane out of here. Bob is a huge supporter of ours, and I'm sure that there are others as well that we'll send.
I know some families, for example, are sending their children to Norway to work for a year in harvesting forests so that they learn, you know, how do you harvest a forest?
Okay. Well, Bob knows, because Bob is planting up Lord Dunsany's place, and Bob plants one tree for every episode of this podcast. How about that? So he has 156 trees already planted for us.
I would like him to plant a mink mahogany tree for this episode.
A mink mahogany. Well, yes. Let's get Bob on the job. And Bob a job? Because that is it from this episode of That Great Business Show.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
DeFacto, the revolutionary shaving oil, changing the face of shaving. For the smoothest shave of your life, just add water. No more lathering up or cleaning up afterward. Just add a few drops of water and you're ready to go. DeFacto's blend of all natural oils hydrates and protects your skin. No more razor burns or irritation. A spa treatment for your face. Perfect for all skin types and lasts so much longer than traditional foams or gels. DeFacto, a shaving revolution. Just add water. Available from selected pharmacies and from defactoshave.com.
It's all go, let Chrissy know on thatgreatbusinessshow.com.
That great business show.
And that was Conor McEnroy. We do business differently, as you hear, and it's all thanks to our sponsor, Dundeal.ie. Go online and kick some tires at Dundeal.ie and see what your next car or van could look like. Sign up for your email updates and we will send you your own personal copy of the podcast. How good is that? The address is thatgreatbusinessshow.com, and that's where to go if you want to advertise with us as well. We record at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where cash is still king, and there's nothing dodgy about today's sound engineer, who is Lee Brennan. Later, studio manager Peter Royce will check if we are correctly wired for sound so that we remain the best-selling business podcast in the world. And Peter Royce is the man to talk to if you would like to record your own podcast here in Dundrum, Dublin. So from me, Conal Moran, we host to you all a slán tamall.